In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This last Sunday, I had the opportunity to sit in the pew at my home congregation, Holy Cross in Collinsville. Pastor William Engfair told about his trip the last week to the Gulf Coast area. And one of the stories that he shared is a good way to begin this sermon. Pastor Engfair and whoever was with them was driving in a subdivision, better to say trying to drive in a subdivision. They were looking for the local Lutheran pastor. House numbers were of no help because the storm surge had literally rearranged the location of some homes. So as they're driving, they saw a man standing in front of his ruined home on the driveway. And they walked up and they told him that they were trying to find Pastor so-and-so, I don't know what the name was, and the man said, "You have found him." I'd like to begin by asking you to put that picture in your mind. A man standing in front of his ruined home, alone with his thoughts, and maybe with thoughts of God, I don't know, but alone with his thoughts. You can take your computer mind and change the image a little bit. A young mother is told that she has inoperable cancer. A young man is trying to cope with life. Coping is never easy, but it's harder for this young man because he's dealing with the effects of repeated sexual abuse in his childhood. A couple is in a loveless marriage. Each pursues his, her own interests. They pass by one another daily without caring. An old man, Christian old man, a believing old man, is dying in the hospital. Friends and family are around, but he too is alone with his own thoughts. There's going to be a lot of theological wisdom and a lot of theological words flowing today and tomorrow. And I thank all of you who have come to attend the Theological Symposium. I thank those who are going to present. But for right now, I'd like you to put that out of your mind. Have the picture in your mind, the picture of a person alone with his or her own thoughts. Let's make it more personal. You alone with your own thoughts. You in your personal time of prayer, apart from the theological symposium, apart from daily chapel, apart from Sunday worship, you alone with your thoughts. The hymn says, "Sweet hour of prayer." But a lot of times the hours of prayer are very bitter. They are wrestlings, painful wrestlings, and they seem devoid of any hope. At times like that, when you are alone with yourself, the bitter hour of prayer, you need a sweetener. Some of our hours of prayer need a sweetener. Some hours of prayer need a sweetener. Think about your bitter hours of prayer in the light of the gospel reading from St. Matthew chapter 20. A man contracts with day laborers, and at the end of the day, he pays them the agreed upon wage, but also at the end of the day, he pays that same wage to the Johnny-come-latelys, and there's a lot of complaining about that. Now, don't get your cell phone out and call your union steward. This is not about earthly wages. This is about the Christian life. Kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus began the parable. And when you compare your bitter hours of prayer, those times when you are all alone with your thoughts and maybe with God, maybe not, it is bitter. What are the things that you think about? Maybe you're standing in front of your ruined home on the driveway. Maybe the bitter hour of prayer for you is that your wife is not happy with your life at the seminary. Your life at the seminary. It's not her life. She just came with. She doesn't smile. Or maybe it's the fact that the bills keep coming. You have decided, maybe idealistically, but you have decided to give your life to the ministry, but the bills keep coming. The bills keep coming. What is it for you when you have those times alone, those bitter, bitter hours of prayer? Well, one of the things that you probably think, and I do also in my times like that, this isn't fair. This just isn't fair. And you want to know what? It isn't fair. You're absolutely right. It is not fair. God put in every heart an innate instinct for fairness. That is because God put in every heart His law. And His law says, if you do such and such, it'll be okay for you. But if you don't do such and such, if you do that instead, it's not going to be okay for you. It will not go well for you. That's the law that God put into our heart. You might think of it as the fairness formula. In the Garden of Eden, all things were good and fair and right. But sin came into the world, and the fairness formula simply cannot always be depended upon. And you know that from your experience. I know that from mine. And in my own times alone, my own times of personal, private devotion, I have found it very helpful to begin by grousing about how unfair whatever the deal is happens to be. The best thing about starting that time of private devotion, private prayer alone, is getting the garbage out. Get it out. Name it. Identify it. And get it out. Don't stuff it. Lay out in front of yourself all the unfairness that you're struggling with in your life. And then I think you will find that in those times of prayer, and let me, by the way, say, you really need to do this. You really need to set aside these dedicated times when you are off by yourself, away from everyone else. Times when you go through your own thoughts. Times when you have your own dedicated meditation and prayer. You really, really need to do that. I mean, it's just simple. It's going to be a lot easier for the Holy Spirit to hit a sitting target than one that is always on the go, even doing theological things as you do. Always easier for the Spirit to hit a sitting target. So I say, have these dedicated times. And when you do, you'll find that the grace of baptism kicks in and the bitter hour of prayer begins to turn sweet. Begins to turn sweet. The Word of God comes to you. And the Word may come to you in something you read out of the Bible or a devotional book. The Word may come to you as you resurrect in your memory a passage that you learned long, long ago, a Bible passage, a hymn, a good devotional thought. The Word of God comes and God begins to make the bitter hour of prayer sweet. And He says to you the same thing that the master said to the grumbling workers, friend, I am not being unfair with you. Friend, I am not being unfair with you. In testimony, there is the bitter prayer of St. Paul. And the Lord came to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Well, if you follow this process, God adds His sweetener to your devotion. And the sweetener to the hour of prayer is His Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. For our Lord Jesus kept the law perfectly. Our Lord Jesus satisfied all the conditions of the fairness formula. And He did that in your place, in my place. We call that His act of obedience. And because you and I could not, cannot, will not keep the law perfectly, because we just can't do the conditions of the fairness formula because of the sin that still lingers in us. Our Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for those sins. We call that his passive obedience. His ministry, his passion, his death, his resurrection, they fulfill the conditions of that fairness formula. They meet the conditions of the law. And it's not because you and I have done anything. It's not by our merits, but it's by the merits of Jesus Christ when we believe this. Now, we can't see that with our eyes. We can only know it by faith, by trusting the Christ-centered promises that have us know that all things are good and just and right. The kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus said, and one of the hymn writers wrote, within the kingdom of his might, all things are good and just and right. To God all praise and glory. So, theological symposium time. And if I have been reading my Lutheran theology correctly, we will all leave the symposium tomorrow with an unresolved tension. It won't be solved. This tension that we have between the unfair things in life, when the fairness formula breaks down, and the promises of God, which are for our good. You've experienced it. You wrestle with it in your bitter hours of prayer. A man standing in the driveway in front of his home knows it all too well. And we will leave here with only this thought: let God be God. And when you alone with your own thoughts are wrestling with some unfairness in your own life, then let the Spirit of God and of the Lord Jesus be the sweetener to your hour of prayer. The Apostle Paul put it this way in conclusion, Romans chapter 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen."